When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We're streaming live on the free Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junks. I'm John-Paul Flame, joined by Jason Bishop, Johnny Cakes Auville, and Eric Bickle. That is the foursome. Later in the program, Scott Abraham from ABC7 joins us as we talk Commanders Giants. Gravis Vasquez, former Terps legend, joins us in studio. He's doing work for Monumental Sports, but joining us right now is John Feinstein, best-selling author, Washington Post columnist. He is brought to you by Golfdom, where they can custom fit you for the new GT Metals from Titleist or the new Apex Irons from Callaway. Visit them in Tysons, Rockville, or Annapolis to get your game ready for fall golf. Golfdom by Worldwide Golf. Get there. Hey, John.
Morning, fellas. How's everybody?
Doing well.
Doing great.
How was your Halloween?
It was good. It was very active, actually, here in our new neighborhood. A lot of kids.
Good.
Fortunately, we had a lot of candy, and it was cool. How about you guys?
Yep. Pretty active on my street.
I was a little disappointed in my turnout in my neighborhood, but you know, it is what it is.
You won't like my answer, John. I skipped it. I went to dinner.
Bickle doesn't care about Halloween. He actually hates it.
I don't like
you
it.
You know, you're not, Eric, you and I rarely agree, but I sort of agree with you on that.
Right.
Not shocked. I will say, your kids are grown now, but when your kids are little, Halloween's kind of a
sure,
big deal.
It's cute. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Jane went trick-or-treating last night, probably for the last time. She just turned 14.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously my older kids don't trick-or-treat anymore. But Danny was really into it. He went out and bought all the candy and got everything set up. So that was cool. That was cool. My attitude towards holidays is if you like them, you like them. If you don't, you don't.
Right, exactly. Whatever floats your boat.
Did you like the World Series?
What about the World Series?
Did you like the World Series, speaking of things you like?
Yeah, I loved what Freddie Freeman did. I just loved it. I mean, the guy's had a really tough summer, obviously, with his son's health. He's always been a good guy when he was in Atlanta and now in L.A. I was delighted to see him have the run that he had. I didn't really care who won. I'm not a fan or a non-fan of either of those teams. So I just sort of watched it, you know, as an observer, and it was fine. I would have preferred 7 games, and whoever wins, but you can't always get what you want, especially in sports.
So, John, you're a Mets guy, but you don't have animosity yep. towards the Yankees?
No, I don't. You know, I never really did. When I was a kid, I went to Yankee games when the Mets weren't in town, because in those days they alternated. You know, when the Mets were in town, the Yankees were out and vice versa. And then I really kind of pulled for the Yankees for a number of years when Joe Torre was the manager, because I liked Torre so much. And Bobby Valentine was managing the Mets at that point. So there was a real contrast in how I felt about the managers. But no, I've never had any. And I like Aaron Boone. I do like Aaron Boone. I think he is a good manager. He gets, you know, the way it is in New York, if you don't win, you get criticized, and he may get fired, which I think would be a mistake. But no, I have nothing against the Yankees. But I did say after game one, I said to some friends of mine the next day, this is one morning when I'm really glad I'm a Mets fan, because I didn't have to suffer through that game.
Man, the way they lost that game, blowing the 5-run lead, and the two.
The last game, yeah.
Yeah, the game five.
I mean, that fifth inning, just as a baseball fan, that fifth inning was painful to watch, the way they melted down there, and that turned out to cost them in the end.
I mean, Aaron Judge didn't have an error all year. And then
and he made on the most routine fly ball you've ever seen.
And Volpe won a Gold Glove last year, and he's a finalist this year. He might win another one, and has a bad throw. It's like a 20-foot throw. I mean, can't make that stuff up.
Too much. Yeah. No, you're right. It was, like I said, it was stunning to watch, because you don't expect any major league team, much less one in the World Series, to have that sort of inning. And I that was another moment when I shook my head, because if the Mets had been in that position, I'd have been thrilled. But if the Mets had done that, I'd have been, jumping off the walls.
You have any thoughts on Costas as his last call with Major League Baseball?
I have a lot of thoughts.
Yeah.
I have a lot of thoughts. I am a big fan of Costas, both professionally and personally. He's always been great to me on a personal level. I just think he's the best. And in fact, I sort of regret now, because during the playoffs, when he was doing the games on TBS, I meant to write him a note and just say, "Hey, Bob, it's just so good to hear you doing play-by-play." Because he's still the best.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not like he's lost a step. I have not spoken to him. I will speak to him. And I'm guessing he just doesn't want to do the travel anymore. But that's a loss. That's a loss for baseball to not have Bob Costas doing baseball games play-by-play. Because, like I said, I mean, he's great at what he does. I mean, remember, he had a late-night show for years that was not a sports show. He was a great interviewer. He never backed down from anybody. He did the Olympics I don't know how many times as the anchor. I actually worked with him in 1988 when I was working for NBC in Seoul. I was a Seoul searcher because I was supposed to be doing reporting on John Thompson's basketball team. I'm just, like I said, I feel sad this morning about it. I'm a fan.
Sticking with baseball, Juan Soto said he's open to going to all 30 Major League Baseball teams, but we know that there's probably only a handful of teams that can compete
kind of
for Juan Soto. If you had to guess, where do you think he ends up?
I don't know. I mean, he's a Scott Boras client, so you know he's going to go wherever the money is. It's not going to matter, the tradition of the Yankees or coming back here to Washington or something like that. He's going to go wherever the money is. It'll probably take a while because Boras will keep holding out for more money. Boras is he's the devil to me. And it's a perfect example of everything that is wrong with sports. You saw what he did to several of his clients this past season. But I would guess that it's going to be a big market. Somebody said yesterday, well, what if he ends up with the Kansas City Royals? Well, great, but he's not going to. The Yankees would still, to me, be the favorites.
Over the Mets?
Over
the Mets?
Yes, because after losing the World Series, they sort of have to say something to their fans about, okay, we're going to do everything we can to win next year. The Mets certainly have the money. There's no question, and they've got a good team. It's not like he'd be going to play for a team that's going to win 75 or 80 games. And it could become a hell of a bidding war between those two. But L.A. to me would still be a possibility. Imagine adding Soto to that team.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I'm guessing. I'm guessing just like you guys are.
Yeah. My Long Island guys, they swear the Mets are going to, they've been saying for a year, they're going to get him. Nobody, they call him Uncle Steve.
You think they're plugged in?
No, they're just like, nobody's going to outbid Uncle Steve.
Right.
Well,
he does have deep pockets.
As a guy who considers himself a semi Long Island guy.
Yeah.
Obviously I'd love to see it, but I think there's a little bit of bias in those thoughts.
Also, wouldn't you love to have Scott as your literary agent?
Oh, God, no.
Really?
I don't want to be in the same room with Scott at any point. In fact, you guys may or may not remember this, but he misspoke several years ago during the whole controversy over I'm blocking on the name of the Steven Strasburg. Mm-hmm. And he said to Mike Wise, who was then writing a column for the Post, mm-hmm. quote, when Rizzo and I were putting this team together,
mm-hmm.
and we got Boris to come on our radio show at that point, and Boris thought it was going to be another, you know, suck up thing. And I said, and I read him back the quote, and he said, well, I never said that. I said, well, Mike Wise told me he had you on tape saying that.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, I was quoted out of context, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, how were you quoted out of context, Scott? He said, well, I didn't think this interview was going to be about that. I said, we never said anything about what the interview was going to be about. We said it was going to be about Strasburg. Anyway, it became a whole thing, and he was very angry when he hung up. And I don't know, a couple of years later, Phil Hochberg, who a friend of mine who puts together programs at the Smithsonian, convinced Boris to come in and do a program. And he suggested me as the moderator. And Boris said, absolutely not. And I was flattered. And, of course, since then, I've called him the Cowardly Lion because he doesn't like to answer real questions.
Mm.
He's a bad guy. He's just genuinely a bad guy. Let me put it this way. I've done fine without Scott Boris as my agent.
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
I think I could block it out and let him represent me, though. Possibly. Possibly. It's possible.
Your call.
Yeah,
your call.
Right.
Each his own.
Right, for sure.
So any thoughts on the Commander-Giant game this week?
Well, you know, it's a classic trap game coming off arguably the greatest finish in the history of the franchise. I don't know what would be number two, to be honest. And honestly, if I were running the Bears, I would have cut that kid, number 29, who was taunting the fans. I can't remember his name.
Tyreek Stevenson.
Stevenson, yeah.
Stevenson, right.
Yeah.
And I would have seriously considered firing my whole coaching staff. I never thought that Eberflus was that good a coach anyway. But
well, that's probably going to happen at the end of the year.
Probably.
Well, it will. But, you know, I'd have done it as a gesture.
Mm-hmm.
Like, dude, you know, you got to have a pass rush on both those plays. You can't have a player on your team who does what Stevenson did. You know, I wasn't watching live. I was out to dinner with my daughters. But I was at the Palm in Tyson's, and I heard this huge cheer mm-hmm. come out of the bar, and the last I had known, the Commanders were up 12-0. So I thought, what the hell is that? And I walked in and I saw, you know, the replay, and I couldn't believe it. I could not believe it. I don't think anybody could. But they always have trouble with the Giants. I mean, they were lucky to beat the Giants the first time around. The Giants are bad. We know that. And the Giants are going to try to go probably get a new coach and a new quarterback next season.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got to make sure, interesting to me, because you know I care about Navy a lot more than I care about the Commanders, their coaches have opposite issues this week. Dan Quinn's got to get his team down. He's got to get them back and ready to play and prepare to play, whereas Brian Newberry has to convince his team that they are not the team
mm-hmm.
that showed up last Saturday against Notre Dame because they were awful.
Yes.
You know, as Brian said to me earlier this week, we would have lost to anybody on Saturday, much less Notre Dame. So they sort of have opposite coaching issues to deal with, and it'll be interesting to see how they each deal with them.
John, when the Commanders win a game like that, like you say, maybe the greatest finish in franchise history, and now they've kind of rack up this 6-2 record, and I keep talking about it for the last few weeks, that sometimes, man, you get off to a great start, and they just kind of snowballs for you. It could go the other way, too. You get off to a great start, you start believing yourself. Does it make you think maybe that something special is going on when you win a game like that? You start racking up.
Something special is going on, Eric. There's no doubt about it. You know, like they could have lost that Giants game
mm-hmm.
Way back, what was that, week two?
Week two, yep.
Mm-hmm. And that doesn't – but what does special mean? I mean, I think they're going to make the playoffs. I think they're probably going to win the division. The Eagles are playing better, but I still don't believe in them as a team. But I think that that something special is going. Jaden Daniels is something special. I mean, we know that. Mm-hmm. There's not any doubt about that. And there are seasons where things just go your way. I mean, the Mets just had that season. They didn't win, but you know they were in last place late in May, and they ended up in the league championship series. It happens for teams. Navy could still have a special season. Army's having a special season. They're unbeaten. But you know, it's been a long time in this town. And I think it's a little bit harder for people to sort of say, hey, these guys are good, because of the 25-year nightmare that was Dan Snyder. And so I, you know I'm not a fan, but I'm happy for my friends in town who are fans and who care and who – you know, we're jumping for joy on Sunday night. And I'm happy for Mike Wilbon losing that game.
Hey, John, another team on a heater here in D.C., the Capitals, 7-2 through their first nine, and they're actually scoring goals, unlike last season. Ovi's now 37 away from breaking Gretzky's record. So, I mean, we hope the offense would be better, at least through nine games. It clearly is. Yeah. They're like 4.1 goals per game.
Yeah, no, they're playing well. I mean, and they beat the Rangers the other night. The Rangers are a good team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'd won some games against, like, the Flyers stink. And I think they beat the Flyers back-to-back
they did.
At one point.
Yep.
Yeah, and that didn't, like, make me go, woo. But, you know, you beat the Rangers in New York. That's a damn good win.
That was here. That was at Cap 1.
That was here.
Yeah, that was here.
I thought that was in New York for some reason. But still a good win.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, last night it's 3-3 after two periods, and then they took over and won 6-3 going away. They're good. They're good. And I think you got to give Brian McClellan a lot of credit because he saw what was wrong last year. They sneaked into the playoffs, and he made moves during the offseason that have clearly improved them. So good for him and good for the whole organization. It's not, you know, it's funny because I was thinking about writing a column about how dysfunctional New York sports are right now. I mean, the Yankees get embarrassed in the World Series. The Mets were good but didn't make it. Both football teams are horrible, although the Jets did win last night against a beaten-up Texans team. But, you know, the Rangers are okay. The Islanders and Devils are not very good. We don't know what's going to happen with the Knicks. The Nets aren't any good. But that's the way D.C. has felt for the last few years, ever since the World Series win in 2019. And now it seems like the town's coming out of it. I mean, the Commanders clearly are good. The Caps are good. The Wizards are going to be bad. But it's nice to see, you know, not as somebody who jumps up and down for any of the D.C. teams, but who has a lot of friends who do.
John, always a pleasure talking to you. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, guys. It's November. Hard to believe.
Yep.
It's
flying here. By.
November 1. Yep.
Knocking another one out. All right,
John.
Thank you,
Feinstein, John. Brought to you by the great people over at Golfdom, where they can fit you for the new GT Metals from Titleist, the new Apex Irons from Callaway. Visit them in Tysons, Rockville, or Annapolis. Get your game and gear. Get it ready for fall golf, which we are in the midst of. Golfdom by Worldwide Golf. Get there.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV on a Football Friday. Going to get into Giants Commanders. John Feinstein just said that he felt like it could be a trap game for Washington. Little Hail Mary hangover, if you will. Facing a Giants team that they beat by a field goal in the first game. I was reading something from Giants Wire. And the article was titled Reasons for Optimism in Week 9 for the New York Giants. Now, first, they hearkened back to the last game, which was 21-18, and they didn't have their kicker, Graham Gano. So they scored three touchdowns, and they went for two, I think, on all of them except for one, right? I feel like they let the punter try one kick and he missed an extra point, if I recall, and then they went for two, but they didn't convert any of them. So the three reasons that they have that the Giants should be optimistic are, number one, they say it's a favorable matchup. They say New York's offense has struggled over the last 3 weeks, but they scored three offensive touchdowns against Washington, something that they've only done twice. Number two, we talked about this earlier when EB was leading Hit the Skins, their red zone defense. Say, bad news is Commanders had their way getting down the field at will, but the red zone defense shut them down, and the Commanders are just 24th in the league in red zone offense. And number three is just their pass rush. That their pass rush has been playing at a historic level. They lead the league with 35 sacks. Sack rate of 13.31%. They've got the sack leader in their nose tackle, Dexter Lawrence. Last week, Jaden Daniels, well, not last week, the first matchup, Jaden Daniels sacked five times. So they believe they can get to the quarterback. Do you believe this is a trap game? If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. Or do you think Washington should roll against an inferior opponent that has won just twice this year and doesn't score much?
I don't know if they'll roll. I don't know if they're going to win 31-10. Mm-hmm. I think it'll be closer than a lot of people might think. But I think that Dan Quinn and Kingsbury and the rest of the coaching staffs, Joe Witt, they will have this team focused, even though last week was such a high.
I don't think you're going to see them come out flat.
It could be a lower scoring, tighter game, but I think they'll win the game. Because I think that Dan Quinn and especially the veterans on the defense, the Bobby Wagners of the world, they know how big division games are.
Both teams are bad at stopping the run. They're basically a yard apart. Mm-hmm. And I'll lean on the team with the better rushing attack, and that's clearly the Commanders. Now, Jaden Daniels isn't 100%, so I would guess, I think if the hamstring doesn't flare up for Brian Robinson, I think it's a big B-Rob game. I think this is a game where he gets 18 to 20 carries. They try to lean on him, try to keep the Giants off the field in that aspect.
Well, if Tyrone Tracy and Singletary are both available,
yeah,
and Singletary is, but if Tracy, that's a pretty good tandem.
It's a viable group, but I still give the Commanders.
I mean, I'd put them up there with B-Rob and Eckler.
But I think the wild card is Jaden.
Of course.
Because he can go out and rush for 75 yards, and I guess Daniel Jones can do that. I don't know if he will do that against the Commanders' defense. Mm-hmm. So I give the lean there, rushing attack, to the Commanders.
I mean, I think we're a better team, but I don't think it's a trap game. I just think it's going to be a tough game. Like, and I don't think that our guys are necessarily going to fall prey to a so-called trap game, because I do think maybe for the first time in a long time, we got a bunch of guys in there that take it seriously. They're not jaded. They don't care about the camera attention. I know Jaden's that way. I know Bobby Wagner's that way. I don't think Frankie Louvu cares about any of that stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So I just think it's a veteran team that's aware of the trap possibilities.
Sure.
But I just think it's going to be a tough game. We got two kind of mediocre against the run defenses. I do think that our rushing attack is probably better on the whole, especially with Jaden. But who's going to cover Malik Nabers? They targeted him 18 times last time.
I mean, I don't know.
I'd put Sanders still on him.
Maybe.
Or maybe they double him a little bit.
You just know that if Nabers is healthy and is out there for the whole game, he's going to get his. He's going to have like 8 or 10 catches. Like,
right.
That's the sort of impact that he's going to have. Here's where the Commanders do have a big edge on the Giants. Turnover differential. They're +4. The Giants are -3. So it could come down to, if the Commanders take care of the ball, they should be able to, I don't want to say eke out a win, but get a win on the road.
They don't force many turnovers, though. A lot of the reason that turnover differential is so great is because Jaden doesn't turn it over.
But that's fine. I don't care how it happens. They've gotten to a +4, and the Giants are bad at keeping the ball.
But we are trending in the right direction.
Commanders.
We're starting to create some turnovers. Not a lot, but we're starting to create some in the last few games. And I do think that I watched Joe Witt's presser this week, and he talked about how, you know, every week he talks about, and a lot of guys talk about, communication, and how well they communicated on defense. They were basically flawless last week, and that's why really the only one big play that was kind of disappointing was the Swift play, And that wasn't a miscommunication. That was just a guy didn't set the edge right or whatever the hell happened
and
there.
And Swift is quick.
Yeah, and it just, you know, it got away from him.
Yeah.
But as far as communication, I also thought this was interesting that everyone talks about Jaden being there every day, all the time, early, you know. They say Bobby Wagner's the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby Wagner's there on his off day, all day. The coaches come in and have meetings with him. And then Wagner has the linebackers come in on their off day, and they spend a few hours coaching film. They trust him so much. He's literally a player coach that Witt said, hey, if I'm not getting the call in quick enough, you just make it. And four times he made it by himself. And he said, I trust him completely.
Yeah.
And he made the right call.
He'll be
all four
a coach.
Times.
He'll be a defensive coordinator down the road somewhere.
Yeah.
If he wants to be.
If he wants to be, yeah.
800-636-1067. We'll take your calls here momentarily. This is a very simplistic take, but I kind of believe in it. Boston's averaging 29.5 points per game. That's third in the NFL. And if you actually break it down, you know, EB says, and I agree with him to some extent, that Kingsbury kind of figured it out in the middle of game two, a lot of sideways passing in the first game.
Kind of,
and then
let
he kind of unleashed the offense. If you eliminate the first two games, they're actually averaging 32.5 points per game in the
even
last
six.
Even
with the dud last week.
Even with the dud of 18 points, because they ripped off 38, 42, 34, 23, 40, 18.
Right.
That's the last six games. Cakes mentioned this before. The Giants score 14.6 points per game. You're basically scoring double what the Giants do every week. Now, it's a division game, and they played the 3 points.
But if you have no one that can cover neighbors, and they don't appear to have anybody there,
they've
or
had
a
neighbors.
Scheme.
I know he missed a game or two. They've had neighbors the whole season.
Yeah,
they
but other
score.
Teams are probably better in the secondary.
They don't score.
Okay, but
to be fair, he did miss one game with a concussion.
That's what I said.
I think it was one.
Yeah. I'm just saying, maybe other teams have better corners.
I think Washington's got too much offense. And that's why I think they'll roll to an extent. The definition of roll, I don't know. But I feel like it should be a comfortable win for Washington. Let's go to the phones.
All right. Let me see here. Let's go to Eric in Lanham. It's your hood there, Lurch.
That's right.
Eric, what's up, buddy?
Hey, what's up, junkies?
What's
my
up,
first time caller.
Thanks, buddy.
What's up?
Hey, I don't think this is a trap game for us. I feel like they said we had plenty of trap games because they wasn't expecting this much firepower from us. So, I don't see this as a trap game. They said the Bengals was a trap game, they said we had plenty of trap games, man. I'm not worried about the Giants.
All right, so you think it's going to be an easy win or tight?
Easy win. I say over a touchdown or more.
All right.
I hope that's the case. What's going
to... I would like to know how the Bengals were. It was a trap.
I don't know. Nobody really expected
maybe
the Commanders to go on the road and beat them.
Maybe is he saying it was a trap game for the Bengals?
Well, if it was, then that came to
fruition. So maybe he's saying it was a trap game for the Bengals, and so he's saying
yeah,
like,
that's probably
you're not getting credit for it.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what he's saying. Everybody was saying the Bengals game
have been
was
a trap
game.
He didn't mean
it.
Couldn't
mean for us.
Yeah.
It was a trap game for them, and so people didn't want to give us credit.
He said everything was a trap game for us.
I don't know. All right,
by
let's
the way,
go.
There's controversy brewing between Brian Daboll and Deontay Banks, the Terp cornerback. He was benched in the game against the Steelers. So maybe if he's out there covering Terry, he's kind of a volatile guy. Like Terry, I think he and Terry have gone back and forth. Banks has had some stuff he's done on Instagram where he's like kind of killed the Commanders for not drafting him. I think that could be a good subplot for the game. Like if Deontay Banks like does something stupid, Terry McLaurin does like a double move on him for a long touchdown, like There could be some fireworks there.
Remind me what the
two.
Back and forth was. What's the background on the Daboll Deontay Banks?
Well, he benched him for, I think, not hustling on a play, like trying to tackle Jalen Hurts in the Eagles game. And also with Najee Harris, he couldn't chase him down. So he benched him in that game in favor of former Commander Greg Stroman, I believe. That name's kind of stuck in my brain.
All right, let's go to David in Fredericksburg. Hey, David, what's up, buddy?
Hey, EB, Junks, how y'all doing? I'd like to get you excommunicated from the Redskin Church.
Why?
Like you want to have... I'll give you three reasons.
Right.
You can even make it the poll of the day. You want me to start with number one or number three?
Whatever you want, buddy.
I'll
see how long you last here. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, we'll see. You said the Redskins were deadskins in the 70s. We went to the Super Bowl in 1972. We went to the playoffs 6 years in the 1970s. You said you wanted to get rid of the number two. You want to get rid of the "We Want Dallas" chant. I was at the stadium when we did that. The next when we played Dallas.
When did I say that? Years ago. I mean, you're really
last week. No.
Did I say that? You remember that?
Couple of weeks.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, you mean like saying that this? Oh, you mean like saying that this year? Yeah, I don't want to taunt. Listen. I don't want to taunt anybody.
Oh, come on. You're not a Redskins fan. If you want to get rid of the "We Want Dallas," are you kidding me?
I just don't want to taunt any potential opponent.
Come on. You're not a Redskins fan then. "We Want Dallas." There were shirts out. You talk about a shirt. Everyone had "We Want Dallas" shirts. You're not a Redskins fan. Mm-hmm. Here's the number one, E.B.
Right, I want to hear this one.
When Dallas played Giants on Thursday night, mm-hmm. you said, and I quote, "Cakes, who do I root for in this game, Dallas or Giants?" You're not a Redskins fan if you're asking that question. Hey, JP, make that the poll of the day.
He's calling me out of fear.
He's saying that. Hold on. I don't even understand why that's funny. No. He's saying that because you always root against Dallas?
He's saying you shouldn't root for – I think he's saying you shouldn't root for either of those teams.
Well, I think both of them are kind of – I look at them equally. Sorry.
No, you're not a Redskins fan then. Your two favorite teams should be the Redskins and whoever's playing Dallas.
I guess I don't think that
way. Well, then you're not a Redskins fan.
No. I'm just not stupid like you.
Oh, here we go.
Not one-dimensional like you.
Oh, I'm one-dimensional. You're the one that walked by my grandson at the Nats game when you had your friend, your cousin Vinny, and your other cousin Vinny sitting with you and D. And he asked for an autograph, and you walk by. D's like, "Eric," and you just kept walking.
So I'm sure I didn't see it.
He's got terrible hearing, so he probably didn't hear him.
James Wood was getting ready to bat, he left the game. He went there to see James Wood bat.
Right.
And he walked by me, and I said, "Hey, Woods is coming up." He ignored me. My grandson said, "Hey, how about an autograph, EB?" Kept walking.
This guy's got an axe.
You remember?
This is a personal thing.
Yeah.
Do you think, honestly?
Yes, he remembers. Yes. Yeah.
No, hold on. Hold on, David, just slow down for a second.
Cousin Vinny and his other cousin Vinny.
Do you think I honestly blew off his grandkid? Do you think that there's a planet?
Probably not.
So you think he actually heard him?
Where that would occur?
So you think Bickle heard him?
He held out his shirt, the James Wood shirt that you thought you were too good to get at the front gate.
Yeah.
They were giving away James Wood shirts, and you said, "I don't need one of them." He held it out with the Sharpie and said,
"This guy's got, he does have you down."
Go ahead. And you think I – go ahead.
He said, "Eric."
Do you remember that at all?
No. Oh. Zero.
He doesn't remember. I don't know if he's lying.
I think that's James Wood's first at bat. I remember.
Because I think I went back and got food. Eric. Because it was packed. And we came in there. Yeah, the whole deal was I wanted to show them and get them food. I know I did. I talked about it on air. I missed his first at bat because we were out there. We were drinking at Circa, and then we went over there to get the free meal in the friggin' suite thingy, whatever that's called.
It's the club.
You went to the game to watch James Wood. I went to the game to hang out with my friends.
It so happened to be James Wood's debut.
Did you sit next to Vinny and Vinny?
All right.
Did you sit next to
him? No, D did.
Oh.
Man, this guy's got, man, he's got all of your moves.
I don't know. I don't remember exactly who I sat next to.
Oh, come on. You were on your phone.
Come on.
D sitting there entertaining the two guys. She entertained me walking up the steps. She looked very good in those khakis.
All right, honestly,
that's a compliment.
I just want to say this for the record. There's a 0.0% chance I blew off a little kid that wanted attention.
Were you drunk?
No.
EB, he was sitting on the aisle. I said, "That's Eric Bickle." EB from the joke. I know him. I said, "Get your Sharpie." And he grabbed the Sharpie.
He's lying. This is not a real thing. I mean, I'm just telling you it's not a real thing.
Hey, did he ask your grandson to polish his World Series ring?
He said, "EB, how about an autograph?" And he's sitting right on the aisle.
Yeah.
You walked right by him.
I don't think I was sitting on the aisle.
Here's where I'll defend EB that maybe he just didn't hear your grandson.
I mean, there's just no chance he would shun him and not sign his promo shirt. Right. Are you kidding?
Are you that big of a jerk or you'd blow someone off?
Do you think that's true?
I don't know. I didn't think about that about you until today.
Right. All right. I might vaguely remember him saying something to me as I was walking back and forth.
Okay, yeah.
But I don't remember any kid coming up to me for a thing.
Here's another angle. EB's not a very good listener. So your grandson may have said something to him, and he just didn't hear him.
I mean, do you think that there's a chance?
But if you heard him, you would have signed his shirt.
Do you think, have you ever seen me blow off a little kid?
Not to my knowledge.
A ball of kids.
He said to you, Eric, you look back at her, and she pointed, and you kept walking.
I don't know what she was pointing at then. I probably thought she was just bugging me like she always bugs me.
Well, she didn't bug me in them khakis she was wearing.
No. I don't even know what he's talking
about. Look at this guy.
Man, he's all over the place.
He's got designs on your wife.
All right.
Peace and love.
All right.
Peace
thank you. Love. Thank you, David. Hey, whatever.
Thank you, guys. Eric, you're not a Skins fan.
Okay. All right. Hey, will you call the off-air?
Do not send fan mail to any address that you have.
Bed.
Nothing will be signed after the 20th of October.
After 31st of October.
Can
we get Dee on next segment?
She doesn't like to come on the air. Ask her off air. Right. You can talk for her.
Why don't you text her?
You can talk
by
for
proxy,
her. You know
by
saying?
Proxy.
No, I mean, it like by proxy. That's what I mean. You ask her the question, you respond.
All right.
You know what I mean? Ask her if she remembers me blowing up some kid. It's like it's never happened.
I want to ask her about them khakis.
I don't even know what she's talking about.
All right, we got the lines locked and loaded. We'll come back, take Warrior calls. What do you think happens on Sunday in the Commanders-Giants matchup? Are you afraid it's a trap game for Washington? All right, that call has a lot of people fired up. Drab said it was the call of the year. Why? Because it was attacking EB?
Yeah, just someone piling on me. Yeah. By the way, did you call D and ask her? Did we just call her and ask her if she remembers any of that?
I know. Can you send me the phone number?
You don't know my phone or her phone number?
I only have your mommy's number.
Hey, mommy.
All right.
But let's go to the phones in the meantime while we're trying to figure out if the guy was just making stuff up or it was true.
All right. Let's go. How do I give you the number? Here, she's texting me right now.
You share
about
your
something
contact.
Else.
He did overuse it, but I did like the Vinny and his cousin Vinny joke.
Cousin Vinny.
It made me laugh.
All right, so should I go to the other guys while he's trying to figure that out? Let's go to Vern in Laurel. Vern, what's up?
What's up, Junk? Can you hear me?
What's up, Vern?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, nah, man, this is Cole from the phone, man. Whoever answered the phone put me in this burn, man. But listen, I do think this week is a trap game. If you look at the history of the NFL, teams don't lose, you know, consistently forever every week. Giants' back is against the wall. Only way I see us winning this game is Daniel Jones give us this game, and he's on the bench and on the bench for the rest of the season. We lose this game, and I also think we lose next week with Pittsburgh, and then after that, we win the next four. What do you guys think if Jay Daniels is in the body bag game? This game is tough. What do you think about sitting him for next week, getting ready for Thursday and our next upcoming game?
What are you talking about? It's crazy talk.
Thank you,
buddy.
You're not going to
sit him unless he's injured, unless he can't play. Well, I mean, that's just insanity.
Which is the one he wants to sit
out? He wants to sit him for the Steelers game because that's a third or hold on.
That game's Sunday.
That's a Sunday, and then the following game is the Eagle game, which is a short week.
Correct.
That's a Thursday game.
If they were going to ever sit him, they would have done it last week.
Right.
So unless he like really aggravates it.
Because he thinks that obviously the Eagle game being a division game more important than the Steeler game.
Right.
But no, he's not going to sit unless – because every game matters. The overall record matters.
Mm-hmm.
That's a horrible plan.
Because that's not going to happen.
I would say that on paper, if someone looked at this from afar and they don't know the team, well, they would look at it and go, yeah, that's a trap game. Mm-hmm. I just don't think this staff and this group of players on any level is going to overlook this game.
No chance.
So we might lose, but I don't think it's going to be because they, you know, we slept on them and we were out partying, you know, like at Portis' house.
They'll be fully prepared
for
the Giants. I mean, Jaden even said when people were asking about the Hail Mary, he's like, I'm on to the next. I'm already preparing for the next opponent because that's what I do.
Did you talk to D? What'd she say? Here, hold on. Drabby just talked to D. You could have done that on air. It would have been more funny to do it on air just to hear your voice. All right. What did D say, by the way?
All right. D says that. You definitely missed the bat, and you guys walked off together up the stairs to go get food. She does not remember someone trying to flag you down for an autograph.
Right. That would never happen.
He was embellishing.
And was she wearing khakis?
Did you ask her she was wearing...
Of course I asked her.
Right? And what'd she say?
She said, I don't think I even own khakis.
And that's what I said. The guy's just doing shtick.
Just making stuff.
Now, the other thing that did bother me, though, the most important thing that bothered me is that he, and he was right, we were more successful in the 70s than I remember, but I wasn't born in the 60s. In the 50s and 60s, we were terrible. That's probably when that nickname really came about, if you look at it. And so maybe in the 70s when I was a kid, people were just still referring to him as the Deadskins.
Can he
from
get
the
past
60s.
It? He's talking about something that happened.
I know, but
5 or 6 decades.
He's
ago.
Making it sound like I mean, like I made up the name.
Right.
He was debunked.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
He was lying the entire time.
Right. Yeah. All right.
He was thank doing shtick.
Does he even have a grandson? I don't know. Everything's yeah.
He probably does.
I do agree with you. We won Dallas is kind of nubs.
I just think. Well, I just don't want to incite anybody. I don't think I'm, you know what I'm saying?
No, I understand the history of it and how it was a kind of a seminal moment in time. And if you were there, it was probably awesome. But to constantly ask for somebody to play them,
it did make
kind of nubs.
Though a listener tweeted at BK Adams 23, quote, I don't want to talk to another team, end quote. Sends gift basket to Bears for Zachary Taylor. That's pretty funny.
Yeah, but they're not rivals. I mean,
and that was a bit. Not like the Cowboys or the Giants, yeah. But that's pretty
they
funny.
Could be rivals.
In the future? It could be like a new thing?
Caleb V. Jaden. Yeah,
can't
for the
you
next
only
decade.
Play him like once every 4 years no, or whatever it is?
Well, if you see him in the playoffs all the time,
yeah,
you can develop a rivalry, mm-hmm. a healthy rivalry.
All right, let's
but
go.
But I would say, particular for that question, who am I rooting for? Cowboys or Giants, you would obviously root, especially this year, for the Giants because you know the Giants overall yeah. aren't as good as – so Dallas would pose more of a
right,
threat in the division.
Right, that was week two. That was week two.
I get it. But you kind of knew the Giants weren't going to be a division.
But also
winner.
The correct answer is you should never root for any other teams in your division. That would be like Valdez rooting for the Bengals or the Steelers at some point,
if they both,
which makes no
if
sense.
They both play, depending on when it is. If it's in week one and yeah. there's no history and we need one team to – beat the other team more than the other.
Yeah.
You would root for a tie. You root for a tie. Well, if no, it was week one, I would, and they played each other. I would root for a tie.
But if it's week 16, and the one game mattered for the division,
and Pittsburgh is 6-2 in the division, I root for the Bengals.
Of course.
All right, let's go to Javon Upper Marlboro. Javon, what's up, buddy? Is that work not working?
Hey, good morning.
Hey, bud.
Hey, good morning, Junkies, man. I love the show, man.
Thanks, buddy.
I listen to y'all every morning, but
thank you, sir.
Don't call in because I forget. Yeah, so I believe that every divisional game is a trap game. I'm not afraid of this weekend, but I believe that every divisional game is a trap game.
Why?
Because look at the years that we've been trash, which has been 3 decades pretty much. All of those years, we found a way to beat other divisional teams sometimes that were better than us. You know, so just because we're better this year doesn't mean that other teams aren't motivated in our division to win a game with something to prove. That's always the case when it comes to division games, in my opinion.
All right. I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that, but
I don't know. Trap games, are defined as traps because you're kind of overlooking them.
Yeah, I mean, this is on paper.
You're not overlooking division games.
Yeah. This might on paper, just because of the lopsided records and the momentum and everything that we have.
Doesn't mean they can't play poorly, but right. I don't think they're
it won't be because we overlook
them. If anything, you're up more for your division games than some of the other games on your schedule.
Sometimes you're going to lose games even if you're the better team. We saw that last night. The Houston Texans, now they're banged up and there's some issues. But the Houston Texans
record.
Are a better team than the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
Jets dropped them last night. Happens. It's the NFL.
Right.
So if they could lose the game, that's why I thought last week was big, because I feel like they banked a win, and at 6-2, you can afford. I'm not saying you want to lose this game, but you can afford to lose this game. It's no big deal. You're still in the playoff mix at 6-3. Don't want to lose it, but eventually you're probably going to lose the game that you expect to win. They're not going to win out. We know that.
You do?
I think we know that they're not going to win out.
I like your optimism.
I
you
like
see
our
15-2 as a possibility.
No, but I just like us kind of every week.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel good about sort of most of them.
Yeah. I think, you know, in Philly is going to be tough.
It's the Jaden effect.
I mean, I feel like they're all possible.
Yeah.
I feel like they're all possible.
Right, but you
doesn't
know,
mean you're going to win them
but
all.
But you know you're going to drop
probably
a few.
Probably going to stub your toe
a
few times.
Just hope it's not this week.
Yeah.
800-636-1067 is the number. Coming up next, Scott Abraham from ABC7 on a football Friday.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.